Rambam Hilchos Deis, Perek Shishi, the sixth chapter of Hilchos Deis. Till now, the Rambam focused on a person's life primarily vis-a-vis himself or herself in the first five chapters. In other words, he spoke about our ethics, our values, our character development, mostly in terms of who we become as people, how we live in our daily lives. Of course, he spoke about how we communicate with others, how we do business with others, our temperament vis-a-vis others. But the focus was on the personal development of the individual. Perek Shishi and the next Perek, Shvi, is going to focus on the hashkafas of Torah and the halachas of Torah in our actual relationships and feelings towards others. The sixth chapter of Hilchos Deis focuses on a few items. The first is about our social environment and how it impacts us. Then he discusses loving our fellow Jew. He discusses dealing with those who have hurt us and the appropriate way of relating to them. And finally, our sensitivity to those in life who have suffered loss, especially like widows, orphans, etc. Hilchos Deis Perek Shishi Aleph. Derech Briyasoi Shel Adam. It is the nature of a person, and this is a nature which is embedded in the human being from creation. In other words, this is part of the fabric of human life. Liyis nimshech b'deyoysov u'b'maysov achareyov v'chaveyrov v'noye k'minagan she'medinose. To be drawn both in terms of his character and in terms of his actions after his friends and his associates, what we would call his social group. He's affected by them, he's drawn into them, and he follows them. V'noye k'minagan she'medinose. It's part of human nature to behave and live according to the customs of his or her society, the people who live in his environment, in his city, in his country. This is a fact of life, the Rambam says. We are social creatures. Some people like to call us social animals. We're social. There's something called the herd mentality. But here it's not in a derogatory way, as everybody is just following everybody else like the herd. It's part of our human condition. And it's also part of the animal condition. We are affected very heavily by our environment. We all need relationships. We all want attachments. And we follow and are affected by friends and associates and society. In one way or another, more or less. Lefichach, therefore. Therefore, every person needs to connect, associate himself, be mechubar, be linked, to connected to tzaddikim, to good people, righteous people, people who embody authentic values of Torah, and to sit by the sages constantly. Interesting, by tzaddikim, he uses the word lehischaber, to actually connect to the tzaddikim. By the chachamim, by the wise, he says, to sit by the chachamim. K'dei she'ilmad b'maaseh, and what's the purpose? One purpose, to learn from their life, to learn from their actions, from their attitudes, from their behaviors. Conversely, v'yisrachik min harishayim ha'helchim b'chayshach. One ought to distance himself from people who are weak, from people who may surrender to wrong behavior, to immoral behavior, who walk in darkness, not to learn and begin imitating and emulating their actions. Who should Shlomo Omer? The Rambam has a source for this in Tanakh. This is Mishneh Torah. Shlomo HaMelech, our King Solomon says in Mishlei Yud Gimel, Proverbs 13, somebody who walks with the sages, he himself becomes wise. Somebody who, Rayak Silim, he shepherds with the fools, this will harm him, this will affect him. As somebody once said, you know, two people study to be security guards. They have exact same level of IQ, same skills, same sensitivity to fineness, but their positions are different. One becomes a security guard in a maximum security prison, and the other one becomes a security guard in a museum, an art museum. After 30 years, they meet. Their language is quite different. One's language is, let's call it somewhat coarse, and the other's one's language reflects his expertise in art, because people hang out in different environments. That's what Shlomo tells us. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kapitel Aleph, Shlomo's father, Ashri Yaisha Shalehalach Batzas Rishayim. Fortunate is the person who doesn't follow the schemes of the wicked. Similarly, if a person is living in a country where its customs, its traditions are immoral, they're bad, and its people do not follow the correct path in life, a person should relocate himself. He should move to a place where the citizens are good people and they follow the path of goodness. What happens, asks the Rambam, if all the countries that he knows about or he hears about, all of them are defined by behavior which is immoral and not good? And the Rambam says, like in our times, when he's writing this Sefer, which, as I pointed out in the introductions, is approximately between 1167 and 1177. And the Rambam says, like in our times, or maybe there are good places he can go, but simply he doesn't have the ability because there are gangs, there are armies, troops that can attack you. Your life would be in danger. Maybe the person is sick. He can't relocate. Yeshiv levada yechidi. Then he should sit alone. He should sit alone in isolation. Kinyan shenemar. Like we say in Echa, chapter 3, Yirmiyah says, Yeshiv badad v'yidam. Let him sit alone and remain silent. In other words, then he must retain his or her moral and spiritual integrity. And despite the difficulties, the person must keep to themselves in order to retain their righteousness. What if they don't let him be alone? They are so full of sin and negativity. They don't let him sit in the country. The only way they'll allow him to stay there is if he mingles with them and he begins emulating their immoral customs and behavior. Let him move out to caves, to thickets, and to deserts. But he should not allow himself to be lured in and pulled in to a path of sin and immorality. We have a precedent for this as well. Yirmiyah chapter 9. I think we say it in the Haftar of Tisha B'Av. Mi yitneini b'midbar meloin erchem. If only somebody would create for me in the desert a hotel for guests. If only I could find a home, a dwelling place, a motel in the desert. Yirmiyah says, I would go live there. And he continues to describe because how corrupt the society has become, full of treachery, full of murder, full of bloodshed, full of violence, full of promiscuity, described in very, very acute words in the continuation of the verses in Yirmiyah chapter 9. Beis. There is actually a positive biblical commandment. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. To connect to Chachamim. He says, lihidabik, to connect, to cleave to the sages. V'talmideim and their students. For one purpose, to learn from their deeds. Ke'inyin shenemar, the Pasuk tells us in Dvarim Yud, Uboy Sidbak, Parshas Re'ei. You should cleave to him. You should connect to him, to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, become davuk, connected to him. How is it possible for a person to cleave and to become connected with the divine presence? What does Moshe mean? Uvoy sidbak. What do I do? How do I connect to Hashem? Hashem is an infinite. Our sages explained the meaning of this mitzvah in Sifri and Parshas Akev, and Ksuvus, the end of Gemara Ksuvus, Kofir Aleph. He dabek b'chachamim v'talmideyim. You know how you connect to the Shechina? You connect to those people whose entire lives is dedicated to be aligned with the Shechina, who are fulfilling the first mitzvah of Hilchus Deis v'alachta b'drachav. They become a manifestation of the values of the Shechina. You connect to them. Lefichach, therefore, tzarech kol adam lishtad, every person should try, lefichach tzarech adam lishtad, a person should try, sheyisa bas talmud chacham. He should marry a woman, the daughter of a talmud chacham, somebody who grew up in the tutelage and in the home and an environment of a talmud chacham, of somebody who's permeated with Torah, a Torah sage. V'yasi bitil a talmud chacham. Try to marry off his daughter to a talmud chacham. V'lecha v'lishtusim talmud chacham. To eat and drink with Torah, with people who are permeated with Torah. V'lasis prakmati la talmud chacham. And to do business on behalf of a talmud chacham. In other words, to partner with him in one way or another, do business on his behalf, to allow him to be able to continue to cast his light on the world. U'lishchaber lehem b'chol minei chibur. And to connect to talmidei chachamim, to people of Torah, in every possible way that you could connect. Very fascinating words. B'chol minei chibur. Any way you could connect, connect. Seize the moment to connect. Shenemar uladof kabay. As the pasuk says, later in Dvarim, the next chapter, Yud Aleph, uladof kabay, to connect to him. V'chein tzuri chachamim v'amru. Similarly, our sages instructed, and they said in Pirkei Avos, chapter 1, ve've mis'abik ba'far agleim, shoysev atzama es devreim. You should, ve've mis'abik, let me see how they translate this. Sit in the dust of their feet and drink in their words with thirst. That's what our sages command us at Pirkei Avos. Now, somebody asked an interesting question. He starts off Halacha Aleph. It's the nature of people. We're social creatures, and therefore you have to make sure your social environment is fine. Halacha Bey suddenly introduces a mitzvah saseh. It's actually a mitzvah saseh to remain near the Chachamim, to connect to the Chachamim, to be linked to them. But he doesn't start off that way. It's the truth is the whole Hilchus Deis is that way. He starts off that people have many temperaments from one extreme to another extreme, right? And then he speaks about that the proper way is the way of moderation, not to be extreme, but to take, you know, the center balanced road. And then only in Halacha Vav he says, and it's actually a mitzvah, v'halachta bedrachav. Just like here, first he introduces the concept and he shows the value of it and the benefit of it, and then he says that it's a mitzvah. Perhaps the Rambam is here conveying a powerful message, which he discusses in his Meir Nevuchim, The Guide to the Perplexed, that Torah and mitzvahs are not just a superimposed document, a divine constitution about how people should live. It's actually a blueprint for life that comes from the essential, organic nature of the universe. In other words, the path of Torah and mitzvahs is a path that allows you to live a life that is aligned with your deepest nature and with your deepest chemistry and with the nature of the environment and of the world. It's a life that allows you to maximize your truest nature and your truest potentials, to live in sync with who you really are. And that's why the Rambam doesn't always begin, it's just a mitzvah to do so and so. He explains the nature of the human being and then shows how the mitzvah is here as Hashem's blueprint for the human being to be able to live your life to the fullest on a physical level, emotional level, psychological level, spiritual level, for this world and also for the next world. Halacha Gimel. Halacha Gimel is quite a fundamental halacha, some would say the most. Rabbi Akiva, one of the most fundamental. Or Hillel says it's the whole Torah. So that's why this is, every halacha is important, but let's tune in. Halacha Gimel. Mitzvah al kol adam. It's a mitzvah on every person. Le'hoiv es kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael kegufoy. To love every single Jew like he loves himself, like he loves his own body. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Parshas Kedoshim, Vayikra Yutes, Leviticus 19, V'ahavta l'recha kamaycha. You should love your fellow or your friend, and the Rambam here defines your friend as every single Jew, like you love yourself. Lefichach, what are the ramifications of this? Tzorich l'saper b'shvachay v'lochus al mamayne, kashruchos al mamanatzme, v'reitze b'kavad atzme. The Rambam gives two practical ramifications. Therefore, you should always speak in his praise, extol him, speak positively about him, and be sensitive to his money just as you would do for yourself. Just as you hold dear your own money and just as you hold dear your own honor and your own glory and your own dignity, that's exactly how you should behave towards every single Jew. V'mischabed b'klein chaveire. Somebody who gains fame or finds glory through embarrassing his friend, through putting to shame his friend, You basically, you know, live off. You boast yourself through putting him down. Ein lo chelek l'olam haba. This person does not have a part in the world to come. It's fascinating to look at the words of the Rambam, the mitzvah to love every single Jew. He does not make any exceptions. And the commentators discuss this, Hagas Maimonides and others, because later in Rambam, we'll see later, Hilchis Ritzeh, Hilchis Avil, it seems like there are exceptions to this halach. Not every Jew is included. But the Yad Malachi, who writes How to Learn Rambam, what are the principles by which the Rambam wrote his book, always says, a later halacha can enlighten you on a former halacha. A former halacha can enlighten you on a later halacha. But a later halacha can't explain a former halacha. No, the Rambam wrote things in very, very meticulous order. So if he wants to explain something later, that's fine for later, but that does not define the explanation here. This means that when we learn the Rambam here, his words are very, very clear. There are no exceptions. You have to love, there's a mitzvah to love every single Jew like yourself. Indeed, the Yad Rameh, one of the Rishonim, writes this in Maseches Sanhedrin, that the mitzvah includes every single Jew, even the Jew who we would call a Rasha, and he proves it from the Gemara. The Gemara says, from Vahavta Recha Kamoicha, you learn about how to deal with the death penalty when it comes to somebody who has violated some of the worst sins in the Torah. The Gemara applies the mitzvah to that Jew. The Maram Shik says this in Taryag Mitzvahs, Rabbi Ruchem Fischel Perla, and other great acharonim, besides the Yad Rameh, that v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha applies to every single Jew. It seems like the Rambam is going to make some exceptions, so we're going to address that later. But here it seems that the Rambam is clearly saying the mitzvah is to every single Jew. He doesn't give the rationale, how do you do it? The Ramban says, how are you supposed to do it? The Ramban asks in Chumash. But the Rambam says clearly, v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha, and we all know the Yerushalmi and Maseches Nedarim explained at length by the Maharal and the Ramak in Talmud Dvar, Moshe Kordoviro, and the Tanya in chapter 32, Perek Lev, the heart of Tanya, and that is that essentially we are one. Our souls are one. We are one cohesive, integrated whole. You are part of me. I am part of you. As the Yerushalmi says, imagine one limb getting upset at another limb because it made a mistake. So what does it do? It chops off the other limb. You're not harming the other limb. You're harming yourself. You are one cohesive, integrated, living organism with one nervous system. Our bodies may be different, but our soul is absolutely one and the same. The mitzvah of Avos Yisrael is not we have to invent a relationship with another Jew. We have to remove the static and the distractions that make us feel separate. But when we could remove the external facades, the truth will come out. You and I are one. Dalit. Ahavas hager. Fascinating halach. Ahavas hager. The love to a convert. Sheba v'nichnas tachas kanfi yashchina. He came and he entered under the wings, nestled under the wings of the divine presence. Shtei mitzvah saseh. This already has two positive mitzvahs in the Torah. Achas mei shoh b'chlal rei, and v'achas mei shoh ger. One mitzvah is because he's one of our friends. V'yahavta l'reyacha. He's one of our Jew. He's one of our people. So therefore, I love him. But there's also another mitzvah because he's actually a ger. The Torah says in Dvarim Perek Yud, v'ahavta mes ager. A specific mitzvah you should love the ger. Tziva al avas ager, k'meshet tziva al avas shmai. Hashem commanded us to love the ger like he commanded us to love himself. Shenemar v'yahavtas Hashem alekecha. The next chapter in Dvarim, Yud Aleph. V'yahavtas Hashem alekecha. You should love Hashem. So he commanded to love a ger like he commanded to love himself. Where do you see this? Perhaps by every Jew it says v'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha. But by a ger it says v'yahavtam es hager, just like v'yahavta es Hashem alekecha. And also by another Jew it says how you love him like you love yourself. By Hashem it just says v'yahavta Hashem alekecha, and the same by a ger. There's no shir, there's no qualifications. V'yahavtam es hager. Hakadosh Baruch Hu atzma yoyev ger. Hashem himself loves, possesses a special love to the ger. Shenema, the pasuk says over there in Dvarim v'oyev ger. Hashem loves the ger. There's a special ava, the Rambam says, the ger. It's possible what the Rambam means here, very fascinating Rambam. What the Rambam means here is that we love the ger as an extension of our love to Hashem. You know why? Because the ger actually reflects Hashem in a way that is unique, because he sacrificed everything. He left behind a whole life, the way he was born, the way he was raised, and all of the difficulties and challenges involved, to go and become part of Hashem, part of Hashem's Torah, part of Hashem, God's people. That's why the Rambam says, Avas Ager Shabav Nichnas Tachas Kamfei Yashchina. He could have said, Avas Ager. We know what a Ger is. We know what a Ger is. And if he wants to exclude a Ger Toshav, so he could write that. He writes these words, Bav Nichnas Tachas Kamfei Yashchina, I think to tell you that he becomes like the young. He goes under the birds of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah becomes his nest. The Shekhinah becomes his dwelling place. He's like an embodiment of the Shekhinah in a very unique way. And therefore, the love to the Ger is part of the love to Hashem. Because there's something about a Ger that is absolutely unique. The Shekhinah rests on the Ger in a way that is unprecedented. We see in letters, there's letters of the Rambam to Gerim. There was a Ger, Rebbe Avadya HaGer, who was denigrated and mocked by some rabbi. And the sharpness with which the Rambam writes about people who put down converts is incredible. Hey, kol hasayne echad mi'israel b'libe oiva b'loy sasa. Anyone, somebody who hates a Jew in his heart, transgresses a negative commandment. Shenemar, the pasuk says, in kedoshim loy sisnes achicha b'lvavecha. You should not loathe, hate your brother in your heart. In your heart. Vein loikin alav zel ufishen b'maisa. There's no lashes for this sin, because there's no action, as we're going to see later. The penalty of lashes, even when it's appropriate, which is very rare, can only be on an action, not on an emotion. The words of the Torah is, don't hate your brother in your heart. The problem is harboring the animosity right here inside. Fascinating. Somebody who strikes his friend or curses him. You're not allowed to, it's forbidden, we're going to see later. But this sin he did not transgress. This sin is, don't hate him in your heart. If you actually tell him what you think about him, you didn't transgress. It's not in my heart. It came out. This is a special sin about the what we call today repression. Vav. Halacha Vav. And I may suggest Halacha Vav should be on every person's refrigerator. So what happens now when one person sins to another person? I hurt you. Don't despise him and remain silent. We find a precedent for this among people who behaved in a wrong way. This is the story in Shmuel Beis, Perik Yud Gimel, where Amnon rapes, violates his half-sister Tamar, and Avshalom, who is Tamar's full sister, cannot forgive Amnon, but the Tanakh says he does not say a word to him. He doesn't confront him. He doesn't talk to him. He just hates him. He hates him and hates him. And the hatred is so powerful, and probably that's what the Rambam is also referring to, he ends up murdering Amnon, which not only wreaks havoc, but ultimately it will lead to civil war. It will lead to the rebellion of Avshalom against David HaMelech, and Avshalom himself will die. So Amnon died, and Avshalom died. Why? He says it all began from repression. Repression! People think repression is a psychological concept from the 20th century, 21st century. The Rambam says right here, don't keep the hatred inside. Ela mitzvah. This is not just sound psychological advice. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Mitzvah lo'idia. It's a mitzvah to notify him, v'loy m'loy, and tell him, lama asisali kach v'kach? Why did you do this to me? V'lama chatasali b'davar ploini? Why did you sin against me in this particular thing? Be specific. B'davar ploini. Shenemar ha'icheyach techeiches ha'misecha. What's the source? Parshas Kedoshim. You should rebuke, you should chastise your fellow. When he did something wrong to you, she did something wrong to you, do not harbor the hatred in your heart. That was the previous halacha. Now there's a positive mitzvah. Confront them. Talk to them. Ask them the questions. Tell them how you're feeling. Tell them how you were affected. And you know what happens often, not always? The person hears and asks forgiveness. So when the person hears what they did to you, whether they knew or they didn't know, but they hear it, they may ask you forgiveness. Tzarech limcha. The proper thing is to forgive them. Do not be cruel. In other words, now the ball is in your court. If the person is genuinely asking forgiveness, it's time to forgive. We have in Parshas Vayera, Avimelech heard Avram and Sarah. He asked forgiveness, and Avram forgives him, and he even davens for him. He prays for his well-being, even though he heard him earlier. Zion. Wow, this is halacha vav. Do not keep it in your heart. You got to talk to people. You have to confront people. Tell them. If somebody sees that his friend sinned, or he followed a path that is really inappropriate, it's a mitzvah to help him come back to goodness and to tell him that he's really destroying himself through his actions. Shenema, the Pasuk says, the same Pasuk in Kedoshim, it's a mitzvah to communicate words of rebuke to my friend, to chaver, to my friend, and really to explain to him what he's doing. In other words, I have an obligation for other people as well. When I see something wrong going on, it's a mitzvah for me to communicate to my friend. Some explain, like the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that the word is actually chaver, your friend. You know why? It has to be somebody you know is going to listen to you. Somebody you have communicated, somebody I don't know, you know, I just see him and I go over to him and I say, you know, you're really doing a disgusting thing. He'll probably become very defensive. But somebody who's my friend, I could communicate. And if I know how to speak in a way that somebody becomes my friend, then it's an obligation. When somebody chastises, rebukes his friend, whether it's about issues in between us or issues between him and Hashem, do it privately. Confidentially. Speak to him with serenity, with pleasantness, and with a soft, refined language. Don't go over to him and say, you're a wicked, disgusting, horrible, repulsive, abominable person. That's not how you do it. Privately, confidentially, with pleasantness, nice, sensitive, loving language. He has to realize that you're out for his good. This is critical. If not, he will become defensive. She will become defensive. Can you make them aware that you are really, you're not trying to grind them, you're not trying to break their back, you're not trying to put them down. You really care about this person. And you care about their long-term future in this world and in the next world. L'chaya olam haba. Because when we stain our souls here, it affects us. If he accepts it, great. Don't stop. Go back a second time and a third time. You're always obligated to communicate the truth to your friend until he hits you and he says, I do not want to hear you anymore. Then you're not obligated. Somebody who has the possibility to protest, somebody who has the possibility to influence others to stop doing the wrong thing, and he does not, he remains passive, he himself becomes an accomplice to their sins because he had the ability to stop it. And this is a great cardinal principle in Judaism. If I have the ability to influence my environment, to influence other people, but whether I'm afraid or I'm lazy or what do I have to get involved, I do not. Now I become an indirect accomplice to these crimes being done. Somebody who chastises, who rebukes his friend the first time, do not speak in a harsh way and embarrass and denigrate this person. Shenamar, the pasuk continues, rebuke him, but don't bear a sin because of that. What type of sin? The sages explain, you may think you could rebuke somebody else and his face will change. He'll begin to blush or go white. In other words, he'll be ashamed. Talmud Lema v'loisisa alav chet. Don't bear a sin to you as a result of chastising him. Ikan, from here we learn, it is forbidden on any person to embarrass a Jew, even privately. Certainly publicly. He did something terribly wrong, the Rambam says, privately and respectfully. Even though somebody embarrasses his friend, there is no punishment of lashes because there was no action. Avoin gadol, who don't think this is a small thing. This is an extraordinary, titanic moral transgression. Kachamru chachamim, our sages have taught us in Pirkei Yavis. Hamalu b'nei chaveri b'rab mein l'chelek l'olam haba. Somebody who shames his friend in public does not have a part in the world to come. L'fichach, therefore, tzarech adam li'zor shaloi l'vayish chaveri b'rab bein katan bein gadol v'lo li'ikir loi b'shem shubush mimenu v'lo yisapel of one of davar shubush mimenu. You have to be careful never to embarrass your friend publicly. No difference a minor, an adult, no difference a person of small stature, of great stature. Never call him by a name that causes him shame. Sometimes there's a nickname that people are ashamed about. You're not allowed to. Don't tell a story in front of him that may embarrass him. You may know about something of his past. But for him, it's going to cause him humiliation. You're not allowed to tell that story, even though the story is not a horrible story, but it's embarrassing him. This is true. If it's issues between one person and another person, and then even if he does not listen, you have to continuously rebuke him, speak to him, but do it privately. When it comes to Divrei Shamayim, which means his relationship with Hashem. Im lo chazar bei basei, so you also have to do it privately. But if, after trying numerous times, he will refuses to retract, machlimim oisei berabim, amafarsim, amchetei, amacharfim oisei befonov, amavazaz, amakalim oisei, achachzeh, lemutuch, kamashasu kol anavim shabi Yisrael. Then there's an obligation to actually embarrass him and publicize the sin. And rebuke him, and denigrate him, and warn him until he repents, like all of the prophets of the Jewish people did. Tes, mi shechata lav chaveira. If somebody sinned to you, somebody hurt you, but you did not want to rebuke him or even talk to him about it. Because this sinner is he's a real peasant, or he has a mental challenge. In other words, this guy, it's not going to work. We said before that if somebody hurts you, do not keep it in your heart. You have to talk to him and confront him. But the problem is, I don't feel I could confront him. Either he has a mental challenge, so it's useless, or this person is really, really coarse and brute, and I don't feel it's going to be effective, and it's really, I'm just putting myself out there in a way that may really compromise my life, and therefore I don't want to do it. So the Rambam says, "Umachaloi belibay." So he decides, "I'm going to forgive him in my heart." He does not harbor hatred, or he doesn't rebuke him. This is an attribute of piety. What Torah is upset about is harboring hatred in my heart. That's the problem. But if I could forgive without the person asking forgiveness, there's no obligation. But it's midas chassidus, very powerful idea. In other words, if you can manage to forgive people without confronting them, you don't want to confront them, maybe you feel it's useless, or they just will not get it, or they're in a different place, or they have their own challenges, and their own pain, and their own issues. And you can come to a place where you could forgive them. The Rambam says, awesome. That's not a problem. Ayit says, Eicheich Teichiach. Eicheich Teichiach says right after, Leisisa Lav Chet. You see, the Rambam is explaining to us how to read the Psukim in Parshas Gedoshim. The Pasuk says in Parshas Gedoshim, Leisisna Sechicha Belvavecha. Gedoshim Yutas Yud Zayin, 1917. Don't hate your brother in your heart. The same Pasuk, Eicheich Teichiach Esamisecha. Speak to him. But don't embarrass him. And then it says, don't take revenge, don't harbor grudges. So the Rambam sees this as a sequence. The first thing is you're never allowed to have hate in your heart. What do you do if somebody sinned to you? Confront them, speak to them, and then you're good. And even if I curse somebody and I hit somebody, I'm not allowed to do that. But I did not violate this mitzvah because I did not keep it in my heart. Now the Rambam says, based on this, if you could find within yourself the ability to forgive somebody without talking to them, even though they didn't ask you. Earlier he said, if they ask you forgiveness, don't be cruel and forgive them. Here they didn't ask you. So halachically, I'm not obligated to forgive you. The Rambam says it's a midas chassidus. It's a special attribute of piety. It's not an obligation, but it's midas chassidus to do it. And this is based, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, Daf Chav Ches, that one of the sages, Marzutra, before he went to sleep at night, he used to say, may God forgive all those who have caused me pain. The Arizal instituted before Kriya Shema Sha'alamita. Many people say it at night. It's in the Siddur of the Nusach of the Arizal. Riboinoi Shaloylam Hareini Moichel Lechol Misha Hichis Vehiknet Oysir Shechata Kenegdi Bemegufi Bememoini Bemechvoidi Bemechalashli Bemen. I forgive all those who may have hurt me today. This is Midas Chassidus. Yud. Last halacha. A person is obligated to be very cautious with orphans and with widows because their soul is very humble. They have been crushed by the pain of life. Afal pi shem bale momen, even if they are affluent. Afilu almanasi shel melech v'yisaymav muzharim anu aleim shenemar kol almanu v'yasam loisanon. Even the widow of a king, the queen, and the orphans of the king, no money lacking in the bank account. They have all their needs filled, all the money in the world. The king left over a wonderful inheritance. Money does not cut it. We are still have a special mitzvah to be extremely sensitive because of the pain they have endured. Pasuk says, a widow and an orphan never oppress. Ve'eich noyegim imam. What does this mean? How do you deal with them? Lo yedaber aleim el arakus. Speak to them only with a soft, soft tongue, soft words, kind, very sensitive. V'lo yinig b'melamina kovet. Always behave in a respectful way. Lo yachiv gufam ba'avoyde v'libim b'dvarim kashim. Never cause pain to their bodies through hard labor or pain to their hearts through harsh words. V'yachos al-mamayinim yoysim al-mamanatzmai. You have to be sensitive about their money. Hold their money in regard, hold their money dear more than your own finances. Kol ha-maknitam, somebody who provokes them, who bothers them. Ha-machisam, causes them anger. Ha-hichiv libam, causes them pain. Ha-irada behem, rules over them, controls them, subjugates them. Ha-ibid mamoinam, or causes their money to be lost. Ha-reiz ha-oiver b'loisese, this is a special negative prohibition that he transgresses. V'kol shekin ha-makoisam ha-makalalam, certainly somebody who hits them or curses them. V'lavzeh this sin afal b'shein loikin alav, there's no lashes. There's no lashes because when you embarrass somebody or you're disrespectful to somebody, there's no action. Ha-rei anshei mefurish b'teira. The punishment set is explicit in Torah. V'chara api v'harakti eschem v'charev, Parshas Mishpatim. When you oppress a widow or an orphan, Hashem says, you trigger my ire and I will kill you with a sword. Bris kares l'mishamar v'ayolim shekol zman shem tzorkim mechama sem nanim. Hashem made a covenant. The one who created the world made a covenant for them. When they scream because they were hurt, they were robbed, they were oppressed, they will always be answered. This is a covenant Hashem made with the orphan and the widow. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ki im tzoyik yitzak elai shamoya esh matzakosai. If he screams to me, I will listen. Ba'med varim amurim, when is this said, manshin yoysim l'tzorich atzmai. If you oppress them for your own needs, aval inoysim harav kadei lalamdim teirei umnus alei lichem b'derich yishara reza mutter. You have a personal trainer, for example, who's working them hard in exercise because he wants them to be healthy and strong. That's not what we're talking about. So the Rambam says, if the rabbi of the teacher worked them hard in order to teach them Torah or a trade, he should be able to have a craft, be able to support himself or to follow the right path. Here the whole objective is what? To help the child. So then it's permitted. But afal pikein, even then, la yinag behem mina kol adam. Even when you're trying to discipline a child, trying to help the child who's an orphan, do not behave with him like you behave towards every person. You have to recognize the unique challenges. Eliyasalem Hefresh, there's a special distinction. V'yinalem benachas uberachmem gdoilem v'kovet. A special, special serenity, special, exceeding compassion and respect to this person, to this child, or this widow. Shenemar, ki goyalam chazak hu yariv esrivam. The pasuk in Mishlich of Gimel says, it's talking there about orphans. The previous verse, he says, ki goyalam chazak, their strong redeemer, hu yariv esrivam, he will fight for them. He will take on their cause. Echad yasem me'av, echad yasem me'em, no difference, an orphan from a father or an orphan from a mother. In other words, just because he has a father, that doesn't make a difference, but he lost his mother, or conversely, v'ad'emasani kroim yisaymim linyin zeh. Till when are they called orphans concerning this issue? Until these orphans don't need an adult to be able to rely on him and to be able to support them and nurse them, raise them. La'amnam is raise them like an oiman and really attend to their needs, but rather he will be able to tend to his own needs like every other adult. That is the time span. This concludes the sixth chapter of Hilchos Deos.